The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be careful not to parade your good deeds before men to attract their notice. By doing this, you will lose all reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give alms, do not have it trumpeted before you. This is what the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, to win men's admiration. I tell you solemnly, they have had their reward. But when you give alms, your left hand must not know what your right is doing. Your almsgiving must be secret, and your Father, who sees all that is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not imitate the hypocrites. They love to say their prayers standing up in the synagogues and at the street corners for people to see them. I tell you solemnly, they have had their reward. But when you pray, go to your private room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in that secret place, and your Father who sees all that is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not put on a gloomy look as the hypocrites do. They pull long faces to let men know they are fasting. I tell you solemnly, they have had their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that no one will know that you are fasting except your Father, who sees all that is done in secret. And your Father, who sees all that is done in secret, will reward you." The Gospel of the Lord. The prophet Joel gives us some beautiful words speaking of God, and words that in many ways Pope Francis is always reminding us. The Lord our God is all tenderness and compassion, slow to anger, rich in graciousness, ready to relent. It's an image we must always hold. He's always reminding us that merciful and being mercy, which is what we prayed in the psalm, "Have mercy on us, Lord," because we know that Lord is merciful, is kind, is good. But for some people, Lent can be that time that brings trial and discomfort. No doubt people at work asking what you've given up and all that, and they seem to make fun of it. Doubt very much, I'm pretty sure they don't make fun of Ramadan. I've never found it gloomy. As you know, there's a sense in which it's always good to be in purple because it means life's moving on. It means we're looking forward towards something. Looking forwards, of course, at Lent time towards the glorious Triduum and the glory of Easter. So there's deep joy in the season that may not be immediately apparent, but if we're looking ahead, then it certainly is. And it's not because it's just spring, but of course it does. There is that there after the harsh winter months, that the time for growth also, taking stock, clearing out the old spring cleaning that we used to do, maybe some still do on certain times of the year. It's good to take stock, as it were, and that's what this time of Lent is there for us. And it provides us with the tools and the weapons that we need to do that, to fight against sin and temptation. And the three ones that are given us on this day always, and there's even a little leaflet there for you to look at and take away: the prayer, the fasting, the almsgiving. The Lord isn't saying you don't need to come together as we do today to pray. He does. We do that. But our own prayer, our own private prayer, it's as it were in our inner room, quietly away wherever it is. But it needs time. And I spoke recently about time. Find a few minutes for prayer. Only a few minutes. Because I say Cardinal Hume, very wise, holy man, always said, if you say, "I'll give myself half an hour," you'll never find it. But give yourself a few minutes and then just lengthen it a bit. So it maybe needs time. Well, it does need time. You might need to get up a little earlier. Now it's getting lighter and it's slightly warmer mornings and the sun appearing in. so that we can give those few minutes then. But if morning's not a good time, find some time in the day, just for a few minutes, but to be with the Lord. But do it long before bedtime, because that's when we're tired, it's when we're less able to concentrate, when we can even fall asleep in prayer. But never worry too much about that, because that's what the disciples did. And if you're in prayer, it's no bad thing, even if you've fallen asleep in it. But if we're wanting to be drawing closer to the Lord, we need to do it when we're not, as it were, as tired as all that. So maybe the computer or the television or your iPad or the phone needs the off switch for a few minutes so that you can just be with the Lord, because it brings us closer to God. And that's what it was all about. Joel speaking the same, and the Lord himself bringing God in that, as it were, where he is in that secret place to be with him. But also in our parish, across the parish, we always have moments when we can be close with the Lord, not in our inner room, but you can be in your inner room, but in before the Blessed Sacrament or kneeling before a crucifix or where the Lord is, just to be there for a few minutes. And that's part of our feeding, nourishing, for the strengthening we need for that daily struggle. And then fasting, as I know I say it often each year, but you know, if the doctor said you've got to go on a strict diet, you'd do it. Probably break it, but do it. We do, that's part of us. But we're forever hearing how obese the Western world is getting more and more. So we could probably all shed a few pounds or perhaps a stone or two. But fasting's also there. It's been part of religious tradition, whichever. It's Judaism, Christianity, Islam, or other. Fasting has always been part of it. And it's that training of our bodies, sort of that gift of self-control. That's part of what it's also about. But it's also actually good for our body too, to have that little rest and that change. But it also means that we can concentrate on the most basic needs that we have, and those reminding us that as hard as it is, maybe not eating meat or chocolate or smoking or drinking alcohol, whatever it may be, that's nothing compared with the suffering of so many who hunger and who poverty cries out to the Lord. So part of our fasting leads us, of course, into the third thing the Lord mentions, which was almsgiving. And we do that again. Cafford always invites us family fast day. I always feel it should come at the end of Lent so that you've got time throughout Lent to save up. They seem to put it next Friday. Not this Friday, the week up, the 27th. But it's just a reminder there that, you know, our almsgiving, because we are so rich in so many ways, even if we're poor, because actually the poor can be very rich in different ways. But that almsgiving, helping others, which of course has always been part of that Christian thing. And Christ the King, as we celebrated it at the end just before Advent, that is, if you're in, you know, you're hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison or all those sort of things that the Lord's asking of us. Well, Lent gives us that extra little push to do all that. So let this Lent not be a time when we can wear long faces because we see it as misery going without or a pain, but rather a time when God fills our cup to overflowing with his love and his tenderness and his compassion and his mercy and his grace.